This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
8:39 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton, Todd with 1D here. Joining us in the studio, the next title studio, Mayor Dave Beter. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine, thanks.
Usually when I work, which seems to be every visit because Paul J. doesn't really like you very much. I'm kidding. That's a joke. We always talk about the businesses downtown, but there was a great article in the Statesman on Monday about the huge growth in townhomes and apartments downtown and the influx of people. They like put them on the market, and a week later, they're all either rented or all sold. And so it's not just businesses. The influx of people downtown is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's something that we've wanted to see happen for quite some time. There was a little bit cooking before the downturn, and then it just stopped. Now it's just great to see. In fact, we have a goal of 1,000 units by 2020, and I think we'll make it by 2018. It's a great thing. It's good all the way around. We've got all the infrastructure already in there, wherever they are. They're patrons for businesses, you know, employees for employers. It's just the best fit. In fact, you're going to see a number of them come online in the West End, you know, between the Whitewater Park and the built part of downtown. There's probably 500 units, maybe more than that, in the pipeline there, which we love to see because it's downtown, and it's you know, one of the only areas that has the kind of space to accommodate bigger numbers and more density that way. So it's a great fit all the way around. Even if you don't live or don't come downtown, it's a good thing for you because it doesn't cost you anything in terms of services and other things, but it adds to the base that'll help pay for services wherever you are.
It's almost a perpetual motion machine. The people come downtown, which brings business downtown, which brings people downtown, brings more people downtown, exactly. And it just keeps going and going and going.
Yeah, it's like the old Yogi Berra. Nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. You know? it really is. Does fit well.
It's true. It's great. It's great for downtown. It's a good vibe.
A couple of Boise's best pun events are coming up. The first one, of course, the Tour de Fat.
Tour de Fat is tomorrow, 10 o'clock. I'm told get there early. I've gone a number of years. Unfortunately, I got some family commitments. I can't make it tomorrow, but I know a lot of you will, and it's a great event, and we'll be so again this year. Then another one called the Big Laboise, which is
I wish I'd thought of that.
Great one. That's great. And it's the 26th of this month. It's a block party out on Broad Street. The Boise Weekly sponsors it, and I think it's their 26th year on the 26th,
right,
if I'm not mistaken. And we've done a lot of work over in that area. And this is really just the first celebration. We're going to have one a little later, but it's free to the public. It's all ages. Be a lot of fun.
You just took a trip to Utah recently to talk about the F-35.
I did.
What'd you find out?
Well, I had been before, but a couple council members came this time. We got to listen to one out. We were out on the runway, which isn't quite what you're going to be seeing, but it is a good opportunity to just to listen to it, figure out what it is. What I learned on this trip was the effect of afterburners, and that is that takes an F-35 and makes it significantly louder. I'm trying to get information on how much louder that makes it. But the prospects are good that they wouldn't have to use, and we could likely prohibit the use of afterburners, maybe some limited situations, which would help a good deal.
When you hear comments from people on whether or not to get the F-35, what's the percentage of people who like it and don't like it?
Well, we know that it's something like 60% of the people are in favor, and a good number of those strongly in favor. So it is a dedicated group that's against it. We understand that. We're used to that in a lot of things, but it's got broad support in the city as a whole and across the valley. The numbers likely increase. The thing that's hardest, the what I've learned through this, the F4 was in Boise through the mid-90s, and the F-35 is a little bit quieter or similar to an F-4. And in the mid-90s, nothing happened. and blood didn't run from people's ears or anything, and life went on in a great way. There are fewer homes affected now because we've pulled some out over those many years. And there are fewer F-35s that would be located here. Fewer trips, fewer houses affected. Louder, or a little quieter, I mean.
Yeah.
And life will be fine. And we know that as empirically as you can know that, but it's hard to convince folks.
Mayor Dave Beter with us this morning. When we come back, I want to talk about some good neighbor stuff and some good news in town. 844.
And Chris. You're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
David and Chris with you. Dave Beter here with us, Mayor Dave Beter. Before we get to the good neighbor stuff, let's talk about the elephant in the room, which in a week and a half is going to be the eclipse.
Oh, yeah.
And how the libraries, in about 0.4 of a second, got rid of all their eclipse-watching glasses.
Yeah, it was stunning. I actually went to visit the Kolonistic Library that morning, I'm doing a bunch of job shadowing around the city, get to know what all this different city employees and ride-alongs with the police and fire and different things, and happened to be there on that morning, and they were lined up. I think it was a Tuesday morning, lined up for almost a block. And I was, is this a regular Tuesday morning where people are that anxious to get into the library?
There's got
to
be some good books in
people
here.
People love to read.
Yeah. Turns out it was Eclipse Glasses Tuesday, and we were giving them out. We had 5,000 at that. No, what did we have? 500? Anyway, we had 500 there. We had 5,000 overall across the city, and they sold out.
Wow.
Sold out. They were free.
Yeah, they're free, but they're just gone in a second.
It was unbelievable. It was like nothing I don't think I've ever seen. We could have had another, people went, at 10:30 thinking, I'll go get some glasses.
Exactly.
And they were gone in 15 minutes. So it is to show you how focused people are on that event. Going to be an interesting time. See if the freeways hold up.
That's true.
And a bunch of other things go on, so.
Some neighborhood stuff going on.
Good stuff.
There was a big night out.
Yeah, neighbor night out as an event every year. We had 43 of them this year across the city. They're aligned with neighborhood watches. And, it's just the greatest thing when, you get people, first out, learn, meet your neighbors if you don't. Yeah, a lot of them do.
Like in the days before air conditioning.
Well, exactly. And look out for each other. That's just really what it's all about. There's, we're here to help you beyond that. But there's just the best thing about Boise is people looking out for each other and helping each other. And along those lines, every year we do a Good Neighbors Award. It's set for the 28th of September. The nominations are still open. Go to the city website and do that. It's the one of the great nights of the year because people recognize their neighbors for this kind of thing. You helped me when my father was sick. You kept care of my yard when I got injured. You share the produce from your garden, all number of things, big and small. And it's, again, that's what's going to keep Boise a great place to live, looking out for each other and starting right at that level, your neighbors. It's a day to recognize that. So get those nominations to us and we'll come out the 28th.
You said something in the eclipse and I had one thing here on the stadium. Everything's moving forward, but I'm curious because you said you're doing a lot of job shadowing with everybody.
Yeah.
What have you found when you hang out with all the other city employees, whether it be firemen, policemen, or just city workers, what kind of stuff are you finding and what kind of feedback are you getting?
It's a great thing to do. People are appreciative because they love what they do, and that's an infectious kind of thing. And if you can get that across your city in all number of jobs, you really see great things happen. I was at the Colonistic Library, I said, working with one of the employees shelfing books, and he mentioned something. You know, in the course of 20 minutes of shelfing, I probably saw 24 books I wanted to read. He says, you got to learn at the library. Don't take 20 books home every day, because you come in contact with all the stuff that interests you. And, the kid in the candy store, you got to watch out for that. So it was just a great thing to do. He loves what he does, and it shows. I'm going to do it all across. I've done a number of it in the past, but we're being a little more strategic and making sure I get to every department in some form. So it's great.
We talked about the fact there's going to be a bike lane in front of City Hall, I guess, and it's just going to be like one block, though, right?
Well, that's the prospect. I don't think it's all final yet. The price that was quoted was not the correct one. I don't have the correct one with me. But
okay,
what's great is the
was it lower?
It was lower.
Oh, okay,
it is lower.
Good.
Will be lower. The what you want is some protection between, in addition to the lane, you want some protection. And what works quite well is to have cars between the bike lane and you. And that's what it would do in front of there. When ACHD piloted a number a couple years ago, and that was it's kind of funky at first. But it really works well. It gives you that added protection, and it doesn't change the size of lanes and different other things. It works quite well. It takes a little getting used to because it's not what you're used to, but it mm-hmm. works really well. So we want to at least get some of that in the mix, and in the hopes that we can build on it. We're like the fourth highest bike riding city per capita in the country. Especially commuting to work. We have the kind of weather. I mean, Portland and Minneapolis do well too, but we have a better climate to ride more days. And we need to encourage that. Certainly, we're gonna be driving for years. We understand that. cars are going to have their place. But we also want to make it easier, safer for people to ride bikes, and that has a great effect as well. Even if you don't ride a bike, you ought to be encouraging bike riding because it gets cars off the road, and you will have a better run of things.
I will say that this past winter was a lot like Minneapolis, so
I don't
know that we can really say that we're that much better than them. So
that's true. And people tell me that Almanac or the Weather Service says we're in for another big winter. We'll have to see how that goes.
I hope they're wrong. the stadium timeline still is set, right? That for everything moving forward?
Yeah, we're hoping 2020, batter up in the spring of 2020. There'll be a lot of information coming out soon, but we're encouraged. One of the Rockies owners was in town a couple weeks ago. They need to sign off on your stadium. I didn't know that till recently. Mm-hmm. And they were excited. Love the plans. I love the fact that it's grass, natural grass. You got to play baseball on grass.
Exactly. And,
Mayor Dave Beter, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the visit. Have a great rest of your summer, whatever's left, before the winter, the bad winter hits.
Yes, bye-bye.
Open Phones Friday comes up next with Chris and me on 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Well, take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 907. Todd with 1D, David and Chris with you. Today's sweet deal. You want to take advantage of it. Seriously. It's been going on now for 6 minutes and 48 seconds. You don't want to miss out on this. Tropical Smoothie Cafe, $50 worth of certificates, gift certificates, for just $25. Great sandwiches, great smoothies, great prices. Eat it? That's what I'm going to say. Go to KBOI.com, click on the sweet deals link.
Wonderful stuff.
Take advantage of this amazing offer to get your sweet deal. It is Open Phones Friday.
Todd almost had it 3 days in a row.
I know. Yeah. Open Phones Friday, 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, and #670 on your Verizon Wireless, which does still work, by the way, for those folks who usually have to enter the 208.
Yeah,
if you just hit #670, you're still good to go.
We were inquiring about that last week, and we had no idea.
This is from abcnews.com. Message to President Donald Trump and congressional Republicans. Stop trying to scuttle the Obama health care law and start trying to make it more effective. That's the resounding word from a national poll released today by the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation. The survey was taken following last month's Senate derailment of the GOP drive to supplant much of President Barack Obama's statute. Excuse me. With a diminished federal role in health care. Around 4 in 5 want the Trump administration to take actions that help Obama's law function properly rather than trying to undermine it. Trump has suggested steps like halting subsidies to insurers who reduce out-of-pocket costs for millions of consumers. His administration has discussed other moves like curbing outreach programs that persuade people to buy coverage and not enforcing the tax penalty the state imposes on those who remain uninsured. Just 3 in 10 want Trump and Republicans to continue their drive to repeal and replace the statute. Most prefer that they
tweak
instead move to shore up the law's marketplaces, which are seeing rising premiums and in some areas, few insurers willing to sell policies. Ominously for the GOP, 6 in 10 say Trump and congressional Republicans are responsible for any upcoming health care problems since they control government. That could be a bad sign for Republicans as they prepare to defend the House and Senate majorities in the 2018 election.
So regardless of who signed the bill into law,
yes,
if this particular Congress does not do something to it,
yes,
they will be held responsible,
yes,
if it's not good.
And by nearly 2-1, most say it's good that the Senate rejected the GOP repeal and replace bill last month. So there's a lot of negatives.
Well, and part of the reason was it wasn't really finished as such.
Yeah.
And they wanted to just simply repeal, and then they'd come up with something in 2 years, and people didn't seem to be for that either.
Yeah. And I don't know how many people were in this poll, and I don't know who they asked. So don't call and say, they didn't ask me. I understand they didn't ask probably a lot of people. But it's still, at least it's a thumbnail sketch of what the nation is feeling.
The big headlines every time they wanted to do anything were the Congressional Budget Office simply came out with a list of how many people would be without insurance. And it was always anywhere between 20 and 32 million people. And so people said, okay, there's the flaw right there, is you have to kick all these people off that you've now provided with insurance.
But see, the problem with that, and you and I talked about it, is that's a disingenuous statement. Because they said 22 million people would be without insurance. Well, how many of those 22 million would get off the insurance voluntarily?
Oh, 38.
Okay.
So I have no idea. And they don't know that.
So if it's half the people who don't want insurance, they want to just take care of themselves. They don't mm-hmm. want to be forced to buy insurance. So if that means only, and again, 11 million is still a lot of people, it's not quite the 22 million, you know, death knell that the group came out with, saying, oh, 22 to 30 million people would be without health insurance.
You know, as we've said, I mean, once you add any bit of socialism into the insurance industry, it only really works if everybody participates.
Yes.
Because, you know, if you've got people out there who, you know, they get into an accident and, you know, people say, well, I'm a careful driver. It doesn't matter if you're a careful driver. The other guy hits you. That's what happens in an accident.
Yeah.
It's always somebody else's fault. And because you never talk to the people whose fault it actually is, apparently. But or you get sick or something, and there are people who just, you know, they get very cool about it and say, I just wouldn't go to the hospital. I'd just die. Yeah, right.
Well, Steve, who calls into the show a lot, says he just goes to the doctor and just pays for it himself.
Okay, well,
he doesn't
that's
want
fine.
To be part of it. What I'm
going,
saying is,
going to the doctor is one thing. Catastrophic, you know, happenings are another.
But I'm just saying, if he's one of the 22 million who is going to be off of health care, then that's fine because he's volunteering to do that, and it's not a bad thing.
And, you know, I have an HSA. So basically when we go to the doctor, I pay for that myself as well because we set aside a little bit of money every month to do that.
Yeah. And so I guess my point is if the budget office is saying 30 million people are going to be without health care, it doesn't mean 30 million people are going to be kicked off the health care rolls. And it's a disingenuous number that terrifies people into thinking that people are going to be dying in the streets.
But then again, you know, people come up with, well, how many million would be okay?
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Open phones Friday. 208-336-3700. 1-800-529-5264. People are lining up even as we speak. It's 912. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
918, David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. KBOI rewards code is FAT. F-A-T. That's for the Tour de FAT this weekend that the mayor was talking about last half hour. Go to KBOI.com, enter the keyword FAT, get your 5,000 rewards points, and gain 4 pounds. Let's go to the phones. 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Rich in Boise, you're starting us off, my friend. How are you?
Okay. Oh, good. I want to talk about Korea, but the amount of people who choose not to have health care is so infinitesimal that it doesn't really fit into the figures.
What are your facts on that?
Well, the same people, it's about 5 to 6%, the same people that...
Who said? Who are the people? Well, who are the people who said, Rich?
I'm getting ready to tell you. The same people who do all these polls are the same people that figured out...
So you don't have any. You don't have anything. Talk about North Korea if you want to talk about North Korea then.
No, you just made up some number of half. What are you talking about?
No, I said I don't know if it's half. I said I have no idea how many it is. But I know that there are people who don't want to be on health care that have had to be on health care, and I would like to know that number. I specifically said, I don't know what it is, but I would like to know, of the 22 million, how many actually don't want to have it.
But you were guessing half. But you mentioned Steve, because Steve's the only person that I've ever heard of in my life that didn't want to have health care.
Oh, and that's fine.
Anyway, I'll go on to North Korea. Remember a couple of weeks ago when Trump either made up or imagined, you know, that the head of the Boy Scouts called him and congratulated him on that speech? I mean, that's because of his ego. You know, he can't stand the idea, the thing that he's being criticized.
What does that have to do with North Korea?
Oh, because him and Kim Jong-il are the same. They have the same personality. They have the same mental thinking. They're exactly the same. There are these two egos that just can't stand. That just can't stand to be criticized or anybody to put them down, and that is dangerous for a world leader. Trump had to start running off on the mouth about this, and wants to put him in a bind. And Kim Jong Il, since he's the same as Trump, he's probably not going to back down either. And that is, you know, that is a problem when you have two children who are leaders of countries in the world that have nuclear powers. That's a very dangerous thing.
All right, Rich, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
I think it's going to be interesting to find out in a couple of weeks if they do go through with that whole, you know, sending missiles toward Guam. And now the figure is that they're going to hit within 25 miles of Guam,
yeah,
in the ocean. Which I guess is...
Still seems pretty close.
Well, it does to me, yeah.
Because if you miscalculate...
Especially if I happen to live on Guam.
Yeah,
Or we're stationed there because we have a couple of air bases on Guam.
Mike, in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you?
Good morning. Your favorite topic, the healthcare issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with Skip. I have no idea who to believe on what poll and what this and who will lose and who won't. But the thing that concerns me, and anybody that has any brains should look at it, is they say, well, the insurance companies are increasing, I think it said in Idaho, 28% to 30% because of the market stability. Well, nothing's changed. Obamacare is still there. Nothing has changed. And this is just the insurance companies. The difference between them and a bank robber is they don't use a gun.
Yeah.
But the concern the state of Idaho insurance director, Dean Cameron, says in the paper, well, it's concerning to him and all that, but it's going to go through. Wait a minute. Why doesn't somebody say no, insurance companies? Nothing's changed in the marketplace. Not one thing has changed. Why are you wanting to do this? It's a big, huge rate increase. They'll get huge profits, which I'm not against a profit, the free enterprise. But the other bottom line, and, you know, I've called them before and said, those people that don't have insurance, I'm just tired of paying their bill. And that's what happens. The person that doesn't want to have insurance and something happens to them, do we need to say, well, that's the way it goes. You're, you know, your major heart attack, you're out of here. Of course, we live in a society that won't allow that, nor should we. But that's the main issue is a 38% increase. That should put my insurance right around $1,600 a month.
And that's why you know I would say that it, you're either going to have to go completely social or go completely Ayn Rand, where basically you take care of yourself and nobody else takes care of you. Otherwise, it really doesn't work. It doesn't work if you've got a whole bunch of people who simply go to the doctor and don't pay for it.
Correct. And here's the other thing. If you've noticed, all these bills that have been proposed in Congress, the repeal, this, none of them address the tort reform. None of them address that of, well, if this happens, we can sue and this.
Right.
None of them address that because the majority of congressmen and senators back there are attorneys.
And, well, yeah, good point. And
they don't want to address it.
But, I mean, how... Let's put it this way. How much do you think a malpractice case should be worth at maximum?
Well, it's not the dollar of the malpractice, the dollar that gets settled. It's all the attorney fees.
Well, yeah.
That it, you know, when St. Luke's and St. Al started suing each other over Salzer, what was it, 40, 50 million in attorney fees? So, you know, I know I'm drifting a little there, but that's what generates its. It's the attorney fees that run the cost up of everything. But again, why doesn't the state of Idaho tell Blue Cross and Blue Shield, no, these rates are not acceptable. But the insurance director for the state of Idaho used to sell insurance. So, you know, and I'm not against that profession.
Mm-hmm.
It's just let's be real and let's be honest that the market is unstable. No, it's not. I mean, what happens if a big city blows up? Well, you know, is that going to change the market? Probably will.
All right, Mike, thanks for checking in today.
We
appreciate it. Thanks a lot. There's so many questions where healthcare is concerned that I definitely don't have any of the answers. And I'm not sure anybody does. That's the problem.
And, you know, I know people don't. You know, don't like the idea that if you're going to go a little bit socialist, you either have to go all the way or not at all.
Yeah. It's like being a little bit pregnant.
Well, yeah. Like in Australia, for instance, everybody is guaranteed health insurance. However, if you have the means, you can get much better health insurance.
Yes. Whereas in England, it's just everybody has health insurance.
Yeah.
And so the NSH. And you read horror stories about it all the time.
The goal of what they did in Australia was simply to make it impossible for somebody to get sick and go bankrupt because of it.
Yes, exactly.
However, if you want to spend a lot of money and get much better care, you are certainly welcome to do so.
All right, it's Open Phones Friday, 208-336-3700, 1-800-529-5264. Greg and Pat, hang on for me. We'll get you on after the news. That's next. You're listening to 670 KVOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul Jay and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
9:37. Welcome back to Open Phones Friday. David and Chris with you. This portion of the show brought to you by the good folks at Traffic Text Alerts. I've fallen in love with that phrase and I apologize. If you want to make it to your destination on time, and who doesn't, you need your Traffic Text Alerts from Right Now Traffic. Just text the word DRIVE to 67664. And the alerts come right to your smartphone from Right Now Traffic in 670 KBOI.
Gina Boise has written us an instant message to say Mike had good comments. Plus, Blue Cross has added 12 new VPs at an average salary of nearly $200,000 each. And see, we went into the wrong business.
Yeah, I should have.
And the CEO makes nearly $1 million a year. They have millions of subscriber dollars in their foundation that they give away to things like the Boise Open Golf. It is robbery without a gun. That's... Gene, not a fan.
Yeah. Greg and Meridian, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you this morning, Gene?
Well, this is
Greg. I'm sorry, Greg.
Yeah, that's okay.
I apologize.
Well, David, let me just say that I guess if you can't come to the table with facts like Mr. Rich does, I mean, I wish we'd just let Rich take over. Hell, I think it'd be like, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't think you can say it on the radio.
Bliss?
Bliss, that's what I meant,
yes. But here's the deal. If you can't attack the message and back it up with facts, then you go after the messenger.
Sure.
Him to compare Trump to Kim Jong, mentally ill's son or whatever, is ridiculous. So that's my point. But let me talk about this. In 1988, I started focusing on this healthcare issue, and I told the insurance companies, if you don't address it and fix it, the government's going to take it from you. I came out of the public sector law enforcement and fire service, and I never knew how lucky I or how well or how fortunate I was covered. But in 1994, Idaho passed the first, Idaho's a frontier in terms of legislation, passed the first MSA law. And in 1994, I went to work with Visa Worldwide Health, and by 1994-95, we started the first medical savings account company in the world in Boise, Idaho. My 15 minutes of fame.
Well done.
And I went on about a nine-year dog and pony show trying to preach to people that your insurance is not, it's like you don't cover, your car insurance doesn't do the fan belts, the, you know, the tires, the windshield, the, you know, the little things.
That's a good comparison.
And I said, please start underwriting. You'll have persistency on your book. Please start underwriting excessive high limits in terms of the deductibles. At that time, I used about $20,000. I said, this is where this is going to go. At that point, everything was a zero deductible, $100, $250.
Yeah.
Let people make in fact, I argued across the table from Senator Kennedy. I mean, I had that privilege with the House Ways and Means people. I said, let people contribute on a tax-deductible basis, the triple tax play, deductible, deferred, and tax-free, up to the limit of their out-of-pocket exposure. Let me buy a $20,000 high-level mm-hmm. catastrophic policy. I'll take care of the other stuff. People could utilize physician groups here, which will happen, much like the friends of mine in Wichita, Kansas, that charge $50 per family unit per year. In other words, mom and dad are $50 a month for the year, and the kids are $10. And you have access to full-blown, preventive-focused medicine at that level. So, you know, what's interesting is focus on the real issue. We have people in the cesspool of Washington, D.C., that I wonder how they wake up in the morning and who ties their shoes.
How they make it through the door?
It's true. And listen, this is an antidote to conventional wisdom. Let us focus on the socioeconomically indigent or the depressed. And let's really focus on the uninsurables. Idaho, by the way, which was one of the first states with the high-risk pools, to uncover everyone regardless of your health status. In other words, no one was turned down. This is a result of the insurance industry burying their collective heads in the sand and the people on the legislative side doing nothing to react. And I said, you know, in 20 to 25 years, which is the average length of time it takes a bill to get out of Congress and pass, this will blow up. And guess where we are?
Blow up stage.
We're right there. And listen, folks, and here's what Washington needs to do now. Allow for across state lines portability, allow for excessively high, in other words, let us self-insure up to the 20 grand. Let me deduct, and I'll tell you what, I'll quit doing my 401k and my other accounts, because let me deduct $20,000 a year into my tax-deductible deferred health savings account, and I'll be able to handle in 10 short years when I get on the Medicare side.
Right,
sure.
And let us fix that. And until there's consumerism in this, and it's like every other commodity, whether it be milk or car, you know, there's a little difference there. And to Mike's credit, he nailed it. But I can tell you, the Blue Cross Blue Shield, the way they're set up here, they're not for profit. Doesn't mean they don't make money, but they've got to return that money by law back to the policyholders. They don't always do that in the form we want. But we're so far out in the weeds on this. 24 years ago, I got the first debit card issued in healthcare.
Wow.
And it's amazing the stupidity that's come as a result of that.
Greg, thanks for the information, man.
All right.
We appreciate you calling in.
You bet.
Yeah, a little bit of vision there.
Yeah, that's a guy who had his stuff together, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Pat in Sand Hollow, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Boy, was Greg a good setup man for what I have to say.
Nice.
First of all, Rich, I want to verify that I am another person who does not want health care. I pay for my own bills, and I do not want it. I don't want it now. I didn't want it then. Greg is going to prove my point. I'll tell you a quick story about how I became a wealthy man on not buying health insurance. I had a family of six. We couldn't get health insurance because of my son's medical disabilities, and so it would have been like $10,000 or $12,000 a year just for the premiums plus the deductibles. We looked it up. We were only paying about $3,000 out of our own pocket for dental and eye care and doctor visits and cold medicine and all that, all the stuff. So we decided to, I would sock that money away, the difference between what we paid out and what we paid in premiums, and I'd sock it away. And we'd pay out of that every year. I didn't know about the medical savings account at the time, but this was in 96. So within about 6 or 7 years, I had enough money. So I had it in not a 401k, but in like CDs and a high interest earning account. Within a matter of 6-7 years, I had about $35,000 set aside.
Wow.
That was in my own, that was making interest, and I was making money. Plus, we were covering our medical bills. I traded from my daughter's orthodontia. A dentist needed a sprinkler system, and I said, okay, we'll trade. Yes, we paid taxes on it, by the way, but it was the best way for me to get her the dental care she needed, and he needed a sprinkler system, so it worked out really good. That was money in the bank for both of us. So what I did was I was able to buy a 15-acre property. Well, the value of that property went up so fast that I was able to sell it and turn around. It was my nursery, but I needed more room. So I was able to turn that, move further out into Canyon County where land was cheaper, turn that 15 acres from $200,000 to $435,000 worth of sale, turn around and bought an 80-acre farm for $280,000, put some money into the investment, and built a vineyard in a greenhouse business. And expanded my operation and became a fairly multimillionaire during that time. Now, I lost a lot of it because the economy tanked me, but I did it all on and self-paid the whole time, and I had a catastrophic care insurance policy with about, I think it was a $15,000 payout. I always had that money set aside in the bank in case I needed to use it, but you can't do that today. You cannot do that. I go see a doctor probably once every couple years. I never get sick. I take care of my health. I would prefer to pay for my own cold medicine and my own Band-Aids, and I'd prefer to pay to go see a doctor to get my you-know-what check, you know, and just to stay on physical health. They love cash. I get my eyeglasses. I have prescription. I get them for 55% off of what a doctor's visit costs because I'm not going through insurance, and I pay cash that day.
That's crazy. Pat, thanks for checking in. We appreciate the story, man. Thanks.
You bet.
And if you want to adopt a 55-year-old single man, you're more than welcome to. All right. Mark, Steve, and John, hang on. We're going to get you after the break. It's one last break. 9:46. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
The big eclipse is coming up on August 21st, and there are now new issues such as price gouging taking place in Idaho. Details coming up on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
9:50 at 670 KBOI. We have about 5.5 minutes left. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today?
Well, Matt and I are in a similar position. And you know what? The cost of insurance just got out of sight. And, Mike, I have paid all my medical bills until I got on Medicare. Now, Medicare is going broke. That's a given. But you know what? That's the government. The government touches anything, it goes broke. And that's why you have increasing taxes. But I have never felt the need for insurance because it's a security blanket. I am secure in other ways. I have land, I have money, I have assets. And I worked hard to get those assets, and now to give those all up so somebody else can have health care because they didn't work as hard as I, just seems unfair to me. And, you know, that seems to be the key word anymore is fair. Well, I'd rather have my freedom than to have fairness because that's what everybody that comes to this country wants is the freedom that they don't have in the other countries.
All right, Steve, thanks for checking in, brother. I appreciate
Thank you, guys.
It. We'll see you Tuesday.
Bye.
Okay. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that I knew that's how he felt because he's called in and said that.
Let's see. Curtis wrote in to say last Monday you talked about marijuana legislation. I wanted to clear up a couple falsehoods. First, the police officer said these urine tests take sometimes months to come back. He's incorrect. It takes 3 days. Second, a guy called up and said it takes 6 weeks to get out of your system. Incorrect as well. It all depends on your body mass and the amount of intake. It may not be important, but I don't want people spreading false information like our attorney general does.
No, that's good. I obviously, because you and I don't partake, so I wasn't aware of either of those things either.
It's never come up in, it's just never come up. Let's put it that way.
John, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you today, sir?
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, the excellent. I'm going to try to hurry because I know it's getting close to the end of the show.
Sure, thank you.
The other two guys that called in about not wanting insurance, they're doing real well for themselves, and people are going to complain that, well, yeah, the wealthy people can afford that, and that's their out, that's their excuse. But I'm on the other end of that. I don't want. I'm not a wealthy guy, that's for sure, and I don't want that Obamacare any either. And the reason why is I need a surgery as we speak, and I've talked around to different surgeons or surgeries that I could get. I got it down to like about $12,000. But if I go on to Obamacare, and it's cost me $800 a month, and then there's an $8,500 deduction, or what's that called?
Deductible.
Deductible. And so I'm up over $16,000 for the year before I could even get the surgery when I could have got it done for $12,000 to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fallacy of Obamacare. It doesn't, the numbers do not add up, and they will never add up, only for a small segment of society at the trail ends of it. And is our health care worth that? That's my point. Talk to you guys later.
All right, John. Thanks for calling in. Have a good weekend. Appreciate it.
Bob wrote in to say most in a poll want Congress to tweak Obamacare, not scrap it. In another poll, Hillary will win the presidency in a landslide.
And I didn't bring that up as gospel. I just brought it up as a talking point at the beginning of the show. I don't know. I didn't even say in that story how many people they asked, what kind of cross-section they did or anything. So I was just saying that this poll says this.
Dave of Boise says, has anybody ever determined who is responsible for clearing the snow off sidewalks? That's something we haven't thought of in a few months. But, the sidewalk in front of your place is your responsibility.
Is your responsibility.
That's,
exactly.
That's what they determined last
whether it be a business
December
or a home.
And then again in January and then again in February.
Yeah, and then again in March a little bit.
Let's see. Tom of Emmett says, I realize Rich has all the answers. However, he should know that it's Kim Jong-un. Jong-il was dear old dad who was a nut too, just smarter. And the original dictator was Kim Il-sung, who was the grandfather.
And he was crazy too, by the way.
But Kim is their last name. That's how they do it there. They give the last name.
Yes.
And then you have a first and middle name that are hyphenated.
Yep.
So their first names are essentially Jong-un, Jong-il, and Il-sung,
mm-hmm.
which in Korea are more popular than they are, say, in Idaho.
Well, yes, those names would be like Smith or Jones.
Kim especially.
Yeah, Kim especially, exactly.
And let's see, Jeff in Parma says, do we know of any other country in the world where a totally market-based health insurance works, one with no government mandates like mandatory participation or subsidies involved? I don't know of one.
I don't know of one either.
Most places are socialized medicine now.
Yes.
And he goes on. Earlier, another Jeff says, I know Idaho Talks Live hadn't started yet. This has been here
real
a while.
Early, yeah.
But this thought had come to mind and wanted you to get it in. If North Korea had a massive earthquake right now with massive devastation, who would be the first to send aid? You know, what a lot of people don't know, I think, is that we regularly send aid to North Korea, and they accept it regularly.
Yes, they do.
Last January, we sent a bunch of aid. In May, we sent some, and it's like this whole thing isn't affected by the arguments we have.
No. We're still going to send aid, but we also want to punch you in the face. Rush Limbaugh comes up next. Have a good weekend, everybody. Chris and I will be back on Monday. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Vice versa, yeah.